Now, last week, my wife brought a message. And as she brought this message, she was getting set free. But we were getting a lot of testimonies, about how the message has set people free. Amen. One of the testimonies came from this next speaker that is coming up. She's one of the daughters of the house. And I asked her to come and share this morning what the Lord has placed on her heart. And I want you to receive her well from within this house. This is family. Miss Sylvia, come on up and share what the Lord has given you. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, love.
Got too many props. Good morning. Let's see if I can get through this. Prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all that you do for my family, for my church family, for me. I do love you. And what I say today, please let it be your words, Lord. Let me bring the word. It's you speaking, Lord, not me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The other day, or a few weeks ago, I knew I was going to speak. I was supposed to be in March. And I was driving down the road, and I was listening to a preacher, and the preacher said, "Are you living in light? Are you living in darkness?" I'm living in light. That's what I said. And so this is going to be my head. This is going to be my head, right? I live in the light. And then he says again, "Are you living in the light? Are you living in the darkness?" And I said, "I'm living in the light. I go to church. You know, I tithe. I do children's church. Double. I'm saying all these things that I do, right?" And then he says, "There's one sure-fired way to find out if you are living in the light or living in the darkness." And I said, "Oh, I know I'm living in the light." And so he says, "Do you have hate in your heart?" "No, I don't think I have hate in my heart. If I saw someone choking on a chicken bone and I didn't like them, I'd do the Heimlich maneuver. If I saw someone on the side of the road that I really didn't like too much and they had a flat tire, I'd stop. So I don't hate anybody." Then he says, "Do you have unforgiveness in your heart?" And I'm looking at that radio and I'm saying, "What? What are you talking about? You can't tell me that I'm living in the dark. I don't live in the dark. Look at all the things that I do. I have unforgiveness for a reason. I have a good reason. I'm not going to let it go. I am not going to let it go. I can't let it go. I have to hold on to it like it's my best friend. I keep holding it. I don't live in the dark. I don't want to live in the dark. But I can't let go of this. I cannot let go of this." And God says, "Remember the adulterous woman?" And I said, "I know what you're talking about, Lord. I know who you're talking about. That's found in John 8:1-11. And it talks about that woman, that adulterous woman. And the Pharisees come and drag her to Jesus. And they say, stone her! Stone her! Go ahead. It's Moses' law. What are you going to do, Jesus? What are you going to do about it, Jesus? And this poor woman is there. They caught her in the act of adultery. So she has to get stoned. And then Jesus says, he bends down and he writes something. And then does it again. And then he gets up. He says, okay, you don't have sin, okay? You throw the first stone. Whoever doesn't have sin on them, you throw the first stone. And guess what happens? That's what happens. All these stones start dropping from the eldest to the lowest. And they leave, and she's there. I can imagine Jesus just there crying, and asking, oh my God, what am I going to do? And he says, where are your accusers? She looks up, she says, there are none, Lord. And I know what he's doing. But he's Jesus. He can forgive. Not me. Not me. I can't forgive. I got to hold on to this. He does not know what my son goes through. Brokenhearted. My grandchildren. You don't know what they go through. And of course I know. He knows what he's going through. But I'm not going to let go. No way. And then he says, what about the thief? And I knew exactly who he was talking about. He was talking about the thief on the cross. You find that in Luke 23:39. And then here they are being crucified. And one of them says, if you're Jesus, you can get us out of here. Take us out of here. Take me out. Take us. And then the other one says, aren't you afraid of God? Aren't you afraid? And what does he say to Jesus? He says, remember me in your kingdom. And what does Jesus say? And I'm saying, no, I am not going to let go of this. I'm not. You're Jesus. You can forgive. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not. I can't. And then, what does he say to him? He says, remember me, Lord, when you're in your kingdom. And Jesus says, you'll be with me in paradise today. Today. And I'm not letting go. I don't want to let go. And I hear Pastor last week, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I have to let go of this. I really have to let go of this. And I sat there, and everybody was up here, and I'm still sitting there thinking, I'm not letting go of it. I can't. And then I come up here, and I say, okay, I let it go. I didn't let it go. I didn't let it go. I still have it right here. And I'm praying and praying and praying. In Colossians 3:13-14, I'm going to read this. It is from the Bible. I just wrote it out. Make allowances for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And I'm like, no. Above all, close yourself with love, which binds us all in perfect harmony. And I'm like, oh, and God's giving me all these scriptures to read. And I'm reading, and I keep reading them, and I'm still holding on. In Matthew 6:14-15, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. saying, come on. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. That's not fair. That's not right. I want to hold on to this, and I want to hold on to it, and I have to hold on to this. And then, of course, Luke 17. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day. Come on. And turns and asks for forgiveness. You have to forgive, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I am bitter, and I have rage, and I am angry. And then he gives me Ephesians 4, 31, 32. He says, get rid of all that bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgive one another. Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And I say, how? How, Lord? And he says, through love. I mean, of course, you know this. I know, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's in Matthew 22, 37, 40. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm holding on. I keep holding on. So then I go to sleep. I go to sleep. And then in the morning, I wake up and I sit up in bed and I'm crying. And my husband says, what's wrong with what happened? I think he probably thought someone had died. I said, I can't let go of this because I'm mad at God. Me. I'm supposed to be the poster child for Jesus. I am. What do I do? I shake my tambourine. Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I do my flags. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And then I talk about people that say, I'm mad at Jesus. I hate Jesus, and I'm talking about him, and I'm the one that is there now. And I'm the one that has to ask for forgiveness now. The shoe is on the other foot now. And I'm just saying, oh my God, I don't want to let go of this. I don't want to let go of this. And he says, love. And I'm just tired of all of this. I see my son go through, and I don't know how he stands up sometimes. I see my grandchildren, and I think, God, please protect them from this man that I cannot stand. It's not up to me, I know. And I have to let it go. I have to let it go. It makes me sick. It makes me heart sick. It makes my stomach sick. It makes me physically sick. And I have to let go. I have to let God. That's what my beautiful husband told me. Let go, let God. He says, I know you've heard it many, many times. And I said, I'm supposed to stand in front of all these people and tell them about Jesus and to forgive and love him. And I'm nothing but a hypocrite. Nothing but a hypocrite. And now I, what am I supposed to do? He says, you're not a hypocrite. You're going through. You're going through. He says, you think that there's no one that doesn't go through the same thing. And he's right. He's right. And then I said, okay, love. And what does God say? He says, it's like water and oil. If you put water and oil together, what happens? It doesn't mix. If you have love in your heart, you cannot have hate. You can't have any bad. You can't. It's an impossibility. So God says, love, 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 love. And that's what I have to do. I'm learning it. I'm getting it. I'm understanding it. And it's hard. And I don't like it. The other day, I was, after all this, I told God I was mad at him. Oh, my gosh. Things started happening. I had an accident. It was my fault. I lost my credit card. My fault. We went to go get some papers, and it was closed. And I had to call Pastor Marty. I said, Pastor Marty, all these things are happening to me. Is God mad at me? He said, no. No. He's always, is he gone? I said. He said, no. He's right there with you. He's right there with you. And I know, and people tell me, when I'm weak, he is strong. And it's true. Because sometimes, man, I have no idea how strong I am. And I don't know how, I thank God, how strong do you think I am? Because, man, this is just too much to bear. And he says, love. And I did. And I started praying and praying and praying. Because we know how much God loves us. And we have, this is 1 John 4:16-21. We know how much God loves us. And we have to put our trust in his love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid like I was. I was afraid God had left me. And I know better, but I still was afraid. Not to be afraid on judgment day, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, are we afraid? It says right there in the Bible, it says, if we're afraid, it is for fear of physical punishment, fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced perfect love. You know who experienced perfect love? That thief on the cross. That was perfect love. He was a thief. He was hanging on the cross. They judged him. And they said, you're guilty. And he's hanging there. And then God says, I love you, and you're going with me. We love each other because God loved us first. If someone says, I love God like I always do, but I hate a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. Great. Now I'm a liar. For if we don't love people we can't see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brother and sister. I say, and I know that y'all have heard this so many times, but it makes so much sense to me now. You've heard it at weddings all the time, and it's 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance, pleasing God. I have to let this go. You have to let it go. You have to. And are you living in the light? Are you living in the darkness? That's the question you have to ask. And I thought I was living in the light. And then God says, Ephesians 5:14, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Amen. Thank you. I don't know how you do this every week, Pastor.
Amen. Isn't it something when you can share what you're going through and let his word bring you through? But many times we know the word so well that we don't think it applies to us. We'll look to see who else it applies to before we look at, does it apply to us? Because most of the times it's, well, that's a good message for so-and-so. I can't wait till this message goes up so I can tell them they need to listen to it. The Lord had told me, when don't remember we were going to do the CDs of the messages? The Lord said, don't do that. Don't do that. Make it free, but they have to go and seek it. They have to go and seek it. I'll put it on Facebook. If you want it, click on it. If you don't want it, don't click on it. Nowadays, it's so easy to get the word of God. You can get so many preachers preaching at you at one time with the same message, and you still miss it. Oh, I wish Sister So-and-so would have heard this message. Child, this was for her. What about you, right? We don't want to accept the fact that God is telling us, look, I've been trying to get this across to you for many times now. But now, no, here we go again around this mountain one more time, because we don't want to go through this unforgiveness. So I'm going to bring it to you again. And then all of a sudden it hits and you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, that's me. How I wish someone would have told me. How many different ways do you want to be told? But isn't it beautiful on how God doesn't? He waits. And once you're ready, he's right there walking you all the way through. All the way through. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, those of you that have no sin, cast the first stone. Jesus could have walked off and says, I don't have no. I can walk off. I'm good. But what he did is he waited till all of the accusers realize that his grace, his empowerment to overcome what you're in, waits for you till you overcome. The mercy was extended once he reached to pick her up. Come on now, you don't miss this. Grace is always afforded to you. Grace and mercy is renewed every day. The grace is for you to be empowered to do what God has called you to do, and the mercy is when you fall down, get back up. Because he will always extend his hand even when you fall. He's going to wait for you with his grace while you're down. He's not going to leave you, nor he's going to forsake you. He's not going to give you things that are going to be negative to you. That's the enemy that comes to bring all this kind of conviction to you. When you begin to have thoughts of conviction, like I shouldn't, I couldn't, this is what has happened to me. What has happened is you're being crippled. You are being suffocated by this spirit that keeps you from being free. And this spirit is a python spirit. This whole series started because of the python spirit. Why? Because it cripples you and it gets you immobilized. You can't do anything. You're stuck. It sizes you up. It gets so close to you that you become so comfortable with this spirit that you don't want to let it go. When it's time to let go, it becomes a part of you that you've got to go through the deliverance yourself. But you know, I'm a pastor. I'm a prophet. I'm an intercessor. I work in the spirit of excellence. You too have to be delivered. The fruit will prove to you, and it's easy. Oh, it's real easy. And God allows you to see your own fruit, but you'll pass it off as that's not you. You'll get around some folks in times and know they got an off spirit, and you're like, oof, I don't like that. I can't be around Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so because they got an off spirit. I don't want to be anywhere near them. I said, then how are you going to be any good in the world? How are you going to help anybody to come out of where they're at if you yourself don't want to get delivered? We want to continue on looking like the church is in good shape. The church is a mess. It's a mess. Oh, no. I'm trying to be nice. But when you can't walk into a church and get a real greeting, a real hug, and a real I love you that's meant from the heart and not from the head, that they don't look at you with what you're wearing, how you came to church today. How dare you come in church today? How dare you wear that today? How dare you wear that mini? How dare you? What about bringing the light? Bringing gospel, no matter how they are. See, that spirit will size you up. And here's one of the fruits that you will know that you are being enticed by a Leviathan spirit. You become so holy. You begin to think that everything that you've been taught gives you the right. I've been through training. I know what this spirit is, and I know how to deal with this spirit. Yeah, that spirit is called Y-O-U. Hello, somebody. Come on. Because it's your choice whether or not you are going to let it go. It's your choice whether or not you're going to trust God. It's your choice to forgive. It's your choice to be delivered. And God gives you a choice to say yes to Jesus. Amen? When can we be the church as a whole? And for those of you watching that will be watching on YouTube when this is aired, we need to make it right, keep it tight, and understand We have issues. Amen? We're not perfect. He's perfect. He's perfecting us. And in the process, you're still under construction. That's why there's caution tape all around you. Because when you get irritable and upset when God starts dealing with that issue that you've been dealing with, because you're so bitter and enraged about being hurt from the last 6 churches you were at, and then you get all mad because someone speaks the truth to you, and you want to leave that church again and make number 7 church the one that's really hurt you, you got to hear the Spirit of God tell you, you have the spirit of offense. Quit blaming the preachers and the churches. How about look in the mirror and let the word of God present to you truth? We want another prophetic word. What's the word, prophet? What's the word? Get delivered. Delivered. Be set free. It's okay. Oh, but you don't know what I've been through. I don't have to know. I'm not God. Look to your neighbor and say, you ain't God. Look to your other neighbor and say, you ain't God either. So we made it clear, right? But look to your neighbor, the one you like, though. The one you like. The one you like. Not the one that don't want to look at you right now. But look to your neighbor and say, and you ain't the devil either. Why'd I say that? Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So if you're not God and you're not the devil, then you're just like me. Because we're made in our Father's image. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. The same blood that runs through his veins is the same blood that keeps me saved. It's the same blood that keeps me from keeping up under a curse. It's that blood that brings me up and over to come out. Woo! Of my afflictions. That's who the church is. Have you ever heard this before? People say, I don't want to go to church because them but hypocrites there. Come on. That's what you used to say. Right? Until you had an encounter. And when you had the encounter, you were no longer a hypocrite because you had an understanding. I was a mess so I could come hear a message, and me and my mess became a message to somebody else to bring hope. Amen? Do you believe the word of God? If you do, then know you're going to go through things. And even in the deliverance process, it's not easy. We're so comfortable putting band-aids over everything that when God comes in with the Holy Spirit and he moves that band-aid out the way, we get all mad at everybody else. Well, I can't believe Pastor had to. He's talking about me. He knows me too well to be talking about me. So I know that was about me. And so I can't deal with this because confidentiality is no longer here in the church because they're bringing up my business on it. If it's your business, clean it up. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm getting delivered to YouTube. Just saying. Man. Some religious mindsets in the atmosphere. I'm going to continue sharing on this process of being delivered from the python spirit. But I want you to understand where it first attacks. It squeezes you. Pythons are not fast. They're slow moving. They seek you out. And once they get close to you, they wait until you get comfortable around them. Then they allow you to get closer to them because there's no longer fear. The first place of attack is to bring you even closer. The second attack is to put its mouth around your head. It attacks your mind. Condemnation comes in so quick. All kinds of thoughts that go against the things of God and against His Word and against His children. Your mind begins to race. Now, the squeezing aspect of it, and I'll share this more in the next coming weeks, the squeezing, and you'll see the fruit of it if you really pay attention to it, you'll see it in, one, your finances. You'll see it in contracts that don't get signed. You'll see it in land deals that don't manifest. Oh, I'm talking good to some of you folks out there. If you've ever wondered why things don't manifest the way they should in your business, it's because there's a Python spirit that has been very comfortable with you and it's keeping these contracts from moving forward. Your business has been at a plateau for too long and it's getting ready to cripple you if you don't break the mindset. Hear this. But I'm here to tell you the good news of the blood of Jesus will cover you, protect you, and set you free. Amen. If you would, go ahead and stand to your feet. Stand to your feet as we close today.